Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, wishing you a very happy day, and I hope you enjoy every moment of it. I'm bringing to you a message that I have had hidden in my heart for a very long time, but I want to share it with you from the biblical point of view, not just the emotional. I had an experience this last week that was quite outstanding. I have a dear friend who I've known since 1972, and he was 92 years old, had served in the Pacific, and had many stories to tell if he would tell them. And he wouldn't tell most, but he did tell some. And he told us all sorts of stories, just gently and quietly. And the family and I got together last week, and we said, let's listen to all of us, and let us tell the stories that are missing, so that we get a good overall idea of the man. We all agreed that that was exactly what we were to do. Now, his name was Al Gray, Alden, A-L-D-O-N, Gray. Fine, wonderful, quiet, gentle man. A man that didn't mess around and didn't take advantage of other people. A man who loved the Lord, and a man whose life was worth looking at and living. So we looked at his life together and discovered that he had learned to pray. And one of the stories that wasn't told was a story that I got him to tell me. I said to him, have you ever thought that there's somebody looking after you and things go all haywire, but you're okay? Oh, yes. And his eyes filled up with tears. His mouth trembled a little bit, and he said, the stories are not yet complete, but there are just so many I could tell about such occasions. And he went on to tell me of some of those occasions. This was maybe 15 years back. But he told me that there was always someone with him. No matter what it was, where he was, how he was, there was someone with him. Now, that someone is the Lord Jesus. My experience last week went further. I have driven the highway from Burns to Ontario and Payette and into Boise hundreds of times. I don't know how many, but a lot. But I got lost. And I can't work out, even now, a few days later, not that I've concentrated very much on the fact that I got lost, but I can't work out how I got lost. After all, it's a straight road. After all, there's no need to take any side roads at all. Yet I found myself going past Yontureth three different times from three different angles. And I didn't know how that happened. And then I came across the town of Harper. And you can see, if you know the area and take a map, I was thoroughly lost. Now, I didn't lose my salvation, even though there were many things that discouraged me, but I had this sense of being totally lost. I didn't know where I was. And I didn't know because I was, I don't know why. And it would be nice to work that out. I suppose I will go back when the weather's a bit better and discover some of the names I saw and think what a fool I was and how silly. But I went, as I've said, three times past Yontura. I don't know why I turned off the road. I sat at the junction of Drusy and Highway 20 for about three quarters of an hour, trying to get my wits about me as to which way I should go, left or right. I was facing Highway 20. Why don't I know which way to go? I didn't want to go back to Burns, though I'd seen a sign that said 56 miles to Burns. I knew that was wrong because I'd left Burns at least an hour or 2 hours before. So there was a tremendous confusion going on in my mind. And suddenly I looked at the same post of the same direction pointing arm. It said Yontura to the left and Burns to the right. So I knew I had to go past Yontura again. So off I went. And soon I came across a place and I was looking for Harper. I had no reason to be in Harper. I didn't even know where it was. And here I am looking for Harper as a sort of planting point so that I could replot my directions. And I couldn't find Harper. In the blackness of the night and evening first and night second, I was just absolutely lost. And I pressed on to what I thought was Vale, and it turned out to be Nyssa. I turned from Nyssa knowing that Vale was on my left, and all I had to do is go straight down this road and I would come to Vale. And eventually that did happen, but I went on an excursion before I got there. And I couldn't imagine that a grown person with the average intelligence and the ability to navigate myself across this country several times in a car and by air and by all sorts of methods that one uses, how come I could not see what I was doing? How come I couldn't arrive at the place I expected? Well, my ETA, my arrival time, was estimated at approximately 6 o'clock in the evening. So the family that was waiting to collect me and make sure all was well with me were looking for me. And they were looking at the window and they was listening to the telephone and I couldn't find my telephone. My cell phone had fallen on the floor of the car or somewhere. I haven't yet discovered where. And I couldn't get it to use it. I had all these helps. Masses of help. But the sky was terribly dark. There were no stars in the area I was in to find my way. And I'm easier doing that than I am using modern equipment. So you can see I was lost. I was lost, but I had a basic. I knew a basic, and I was using the basic, yet I was lost. And I couldn't find my way easily at all. It was so confusing and so destructive. My psyche was checking out on me, and I was arguing with myself, and not talking to myself at least, but arguing in my mind with myself, how foolish can a man be? One of the discussions I had with this friend of mine was, the doctor had said to him, you've got 4, maybe 6 hours, possibly 12, but I don't think so, and you will be gone. So he had asked his wife, who was sitting beside him on their cell phone that worked, to get hold of me. He said, so she says, he said, phone Cyril. So she phoned me. And he said to me, I'm going home. I'm soon in glory. Words like this. And I was able to say to him, the Lord is with you, holding your hand, guiding you through, and he will keep you. He will hold you until you're through the other side. He said something about, I know. His voice was weak, and then he got sort of, it seemed to me, on the other end of the telephone, a tad confused and didn't know what else to say. And he handed the phone to Dixie, his wife, and we had a little chat and I think a time of prayer. I can't remember that. And I said, well, I'll be there as soon as I can. And this was the trip. I was lost. And the people looking for me didn't see me until midnight that night. And that's when I arrived in Payette. And that's when I arrived at my son's house. And that's where they put me to bed and let me sleep on through the night and into the next day. I'm telling you this story for a real purpose. And my real purpose is that you may know that in your life you can get derailed. You can get shoved off and be lost in the sense of not knowing what to do next, where to turn next, how to cope next. There's a myriad of things that you cannot do, and for what reason? It's impossible to know. Because you do know the road, you do know the way, you do know the truth, you do know the life. So why aren't we on it? Why aren't we using it? Why aren't we concentrating on being with Jesus? Why is it that we've taken a rabbit trail into the toolies somewhere and we haven't a clue where we are? What's wrong with us? And why does it happen? Well, the church, if you'll read Matthew 7 from verse 7 till 11, tells us about prayer. Why don't we get on with praying? Why don't we believe what we're praying? Why don't we get ourselves organized? We're organized in so many different ways, and other people organize us if we don't organize ourselves. How is it that so much is done according to a set of rules, and yet we can't get ourselves organized to pray? And lovingly I say to you, my dear listening friend, thank you for listening. But now what about praying? We need to pray for each other. We need to lift each other up in faith, believing that as we do so, each of us will grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's ever so necessary that we understand that the church has its foundations, and they're pretty strong. And the church is the head of all of us who love the Lord. That's an established fact. But we need to turn our questioning and lostness and ask the question, why don't we pray? Why don't we get into prayer? We need to go and understand that there were some men who had leprosy and they prayed and the leprosy left them. One man returned and he came to say, thank you very much. Jesus said to him, were there not 10 people? And the man was ashamed, I believe. He said, yes, there were. There were 10, but they are so excited about their healing and so excited about being received back into society that they have put off coming back to you to say thank you. I'm saying thank you. These men had prayed and they had asked the Lord Jesus to be cleansing them from this awful, awful thing called sin in most of our thinking today, but it was leprosy, to be quite correct in our discussion. Well, there are hindrances to prayer. I point out to you one of those hindrances. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, forgive them, and that's other people, their trespasses against us. In the same manner as we forgive them, please forgive us. Now that's quite an enormous statement. You'll find it recorded in the Lord's Prayer, and you'll find it in Matthew 6, 9 and through 13, and you will find it when Jesus is talking to the disciples. If you can't forgive people that offend you, Peter, thinking he was rather smug and clever, sort of said, well, what about me, you know? How many times shall I forgive a person? 7 times? That's a good number. And Jesus said, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's 490 times I am to forgive being offended by this person or this attitude from some member of my family and so on. I must be able to forgive a person that way. And here's the reason, said Jesus. In the same manner that you forgive others, God will forgive you. So if you want forgiveness of sin, whatever that sin may be, if you want forgiveness, you need to get yourself into a position where you can forgive those that have offended you. Now that's a shattering statement, and it cuts near the bone, because we don't forgive people. We think we do, we try to, we endeavor to, but we don't forgive people. And that's the same manner of forgiveness that we will receive from God. He will not forgive if you don't forgive. So you and I have a thing that we have to get involved in, and we have to get ourselves in the place where we are asking God's forgiveness on our lives, and we are looking at those that offend us, and we are generously forgiving them. That way, we will find out that one of the greatest hindrances to prayer is removed. Now, where does a lot of dissension come from? We read in the Apostle Peter, in the first letter, the chapter 3 and verse 7, the hindrances can be between man and wife. And if I can't forgive my wife, if she can't forgive her husband, then there is something very seriously wrong with the salvation they call living for the Lord. And when we live for the Lord Jesus and we put our trust in him, this is quite an amazing thing that we do. And we do it because we love him and because he first loved us. So forgive those that trespass against you. No matter what that trespass is, forgive. Just forgive. Don't fight. Fight fire with fire. Don't get into great discussions and long arguments, but get into the forgiveness mode. You forgive wholeheartedly and completely the person who has offended you, even though it be your wife. So here are just some things to think about, because God answers all prayers. If you read the Gospel of John again and chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus has said he is the new vine and his Father is the husbandman and we are the branches, and we die, we get lost, and we have to be pruned off because we lack the ability to forgive those that offend us. Now, I've crowded that a little, and yet at the same time, the truth is there. Dear listening friend, this is a new year. If there's anything hanging around you that makes you lost in a foolish manner, and there's a discussion that needs to be finished, and there is forgiveness that needs to be filtered out, please talk to that person and say, I have forgiven you 100%. Which means I will never bring it up again. And sometimes we're disappointed because if we give it up, we can't use it again against the person that we're giving it up for. But you are renewing fellowship, renewing love with God. Lost, but in love. Lost, but found, and eternity is our ground. Now, will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we ask, we pray, we beseech you that you will be with each one of us in this new year, and that Jesus may have all the praise and honor and glory for his name's sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Bye.